Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Joe and I have with me this evening Ed and Liam, both from Bristol Braille Technology. And it's good to have you guys back with us. Ed, you've spoken to us before, but Liam, you're a newbie to VI Talk, aren't you?
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good to be back. Thank you.
No, thanks for joining us. Okay, so do you want to start by telling us what Bristol Braille Technology is? I know lots of people will have heard of it, but for those who perhaps haven't or are new to Bristol Braille, do you want to just give us an overview of what it's all about?
Certainly. Bristol Braille Technology is a not-for-profit community interest company. We're a small organisation based in Bristol, unsurprisingly. We have been established since 2011, and we've been almost a single project company. So our entire focus is on the commute. Because we're dedicated to increasing the Braille literacy all over the world, especially in the UK and Ireland, we've decided that the best thing that we can do to help promote that is by creating a machine which we've called the Canute, which will be the world's first affordable multi-line Braille e-reader. It's a bit of a mouthful, but just to break that down, it's affordable because it's going to cost less than a single line Braille display. I don't want to say exactly what the price is yet because it's up. We have to sort out the fine details, but we're talking about less than a 40 cell Braille display here. It's got 360 cells of Braille on it, so that's nine lines of Braille. That's equivalent of a third of a page of embossed Braille. There's 40 cells per line, and no one's ever had a display like this that you can just go and buy. So we think that the advantages of having a device which is both per cell much cheaper than any other technology that anyone's even proposing at the moment, and gives so much context in the actual Braille cells, because you can see what follows on one line under another. The advantages are multitude. So you have subjects such as mathematics, Braille maths, or tables, music, where you really just can't effectively use digital refreshable Braille in many circumstances. If you have a complex equation, or you have a spreadsheet, or you just have a multi-part harmony, you can't really use a single line 20 cell Braille display to get that across. So what we're trying to do is create a really useful tool to help make Braille far more effective and useful in the 21st century.
Okay, so where did the Canute come from? Where did the name come from?
the name is from King Canute, who tried to hold back the tide. And we've got a sort of an odd naming convention. The previous one was called Quixote. We had another project called Midas. We give a dog a bad name. But no, the Canute is quite a distinctive name.
Yeah,
it's quite fun explaining the entire story to people who aren't familiar with King Canute.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So I've seen the Canute, but for those who haven't, can you give us an idea of the dimensions of it? Is it going to stay as it is at the moment as well, or is it going to get any smaller than it is? Because I know it's kind of progressed over the years. I've seen it at sort of Site Village and it's got smaller and more compact.
You certainly can put it in small rucksacks. It fits inside I think it's a 14-inch laptop bag. It's a perfectly good fit. In fact, it has a bit of spare space at the top and bottom.
Right.
I put it inside my rucksack. So really, it fits in sort of laptop size bags. Yeah, it's luggable. It's not something you'd swing around in one hand and walking down the street. So the size, for those who don't know, Liam, can you remember the precise dimensions?
I'm just getting them up on the computer in front of me now. So if you give me 2 seconds. Exactly.
It's about the size of it's about sort of 7.5 inches front to back, about 14 inches left to right, and it's about just over an inch and a half, or just under an inch and a half thick. It's weighty, but like I say, you can carry it around. In the in the longer term, the size isn't really going to go down very much because almost all of that size is Braille display. There's not very much margin around the edge, really. Mm. I mean, Braille is quite large when you've got 360 cells. Might be able to get the weight down over the years. We certainly hope to be able to do that. We've built it to be very sturdy, and we've also built it so that it really looks and feels the part on someone's desk. So it's got this brushed aluminium all around the outside. And that's a good 4 millimeters thick, I think. It's, you know, it's really sturdy. And we could experiment with making that lighter.
And it's quite nice to use because it's quite simple to use, isn't it? There's not, you know, you're not going to need lesson upon lesson to be able to work your way around it, are you? So somebody's going to be able to pick up how to use it pretty quickly.
Exactly.
So do you want to talk us through? I was going to say, Liam, do you want to talk us through? Because you talked us through it at our event the other week. So do you want to talk us through what's on there? What do you get in the box, as it were?
Certainly, yes. Yeah. So the user interface and the control layout is something that we put a lot of time and effort into developing with the Wider Blinds community. And we've gone through a lot of iterations and a lot of prototyping. As you say, to make it intuitive and easy to use. So the Knut essentially has three large control buttons on the front panel. They're back, menu and forwards. The back and forwards buttons are fairly self-explanatory. They will move you backwards and forwards, one page or multiple pages at a time within a file. And the menu button will take you into a menu. Now, when you're in a menu, whether that's the system menus or the library menu to select which book you want to read, there are 9 triangular buttons down the left-hand side of the Braille display. And pressing one of those corresponding to a line selects an option within a menu. So we've designed it so all the menus work in exactly the same way. So as you say, when someone opens up the box and they read the documentation, which is included in Braille, in print and in accessible electronic formats, they should be able to be up and running with the Knut, I would have thought, in an hour and a half of getting it out of the box.
Fabulous. That's great, isn't it? Because quite often, you know, you get a piece of kit and you need to pay for extra lessons with it, or, you know, you're going on social media to ask lots and lots of questions. But just to get something out of the box is quite unique, isn't it, really?
And it's very important for us as well as a company because for two reasons. One is that we recognise that there are very few people in the world of Braille who are actually ripping anyone else off. A lot of the high prices are because they get a complex piece of kit, and the expectation is for very high support costs. So we've deliberately designed something that people can get to grips with themselves to sort of reduce the burden on distribution wherever possible. And so that people can just sort of, you know, get into the swing of it, like Liam said, hopefully under 2 hours themselves. The other thing, of course, is that we are a very small company, and we wanted to focus on making the best machine we could possible, which means really focusing on what we felt was missing, which is a simple reading device, the equivalent of a stack of books on your shelf, but just not taking up the entire house. So We want to keep it simple. We didn't want to add extra functionality in that might make it more difficult for us to develop, or maybe ended up introducing bugs, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So if somebody has one, how do that? I'm assuming it's connected. You connect it to a computer or a laptop or something to upload the books. Is that how it works, or will it take them from a, say, USB stick? How does it work? How do people actually get the books onto the device, onto the Knut?
So it uses a USB stick or an SD card, actually. You don't plug it in directly into the computer. So the process would be you take a file from your computer in BRF formats, which stands for Braille Ready Formats. And we also support PEF formats, which is Portable Embosser Format. So you take your file, either convert it into a BRF format, or you might, for example, download a BRF ready formatted from an online library like Bookshare. So you take that, place it on your USB stick or SD cards, you place that into your Knut, and then that file would then appear in the library menu. So it's very simple to use.
And one of the things to note about this is that we've been working with the people who generate these BRF files. So if you use RoboBraille, there's a preset for it. That's an online service where you can get free conversions. And we're quite excited now that to be working quite closely with Duxbury, So in now, if you're using one of these packages like Duxbury, then you put your you load your file in, and then you go through the settings. Say I'm going to use a Knute, and then it'll output the BRF in the correct format for the Knute. So it just makes life a little easier. But like Liam says, you don't need it to be specifically set up for a Knute. It'd take any Braille formatted file. That's why it's 40 cells wide. It's a kind of a replacement for paper Braille libraries where they are not viable.
So is there any thought for the future, just, I've not thought of this before really, but for somebody who's perhaps not quite as technology savvy, doesn't perhaps find the way around a laptop or a computer very easily to get these files onto a USB stick, is there any thought of working with somebody to actually, you know, like, for example, when you get talking books, they get kind of come through the post in a resealable wallet, and you just put the USB stick into a machine. You don't have to do any of the downloading. Is there any thought about that?
So, well, we're going to be doing a trial very shortly. It's all set up. We're just waiting to send the machines off to them with the Canadian, the CNIB in Toronto and around Canada. Mm-hmm. They're going to be distributing some Knutes to users and seeing how those users get on with it as a replacement for paper Braille. Especially for users who use a lot of Braille, so it takes up a lot of space in the postbox.
Yeah,
and that would be posted out or emailed. I think it's really a matter of experimentation. It's not been widely done, but there's a lot of interest for libraries, and not just in the Knute. This is something which people are discussing quite widely now. How to shift people over into away from having paper posted through, because everyone who reads Braille knows there's a place for paper Braille, but that isn't necessarily in having lots of stuff being sent through the post all the time. Yeah. So it is a very active area of discussion, so we can't announce too much at the moment, but
no, it's good to know though that that's in process, because you know, you, like I say, someone who's not very good with technology or doesn't want to be necessarily, you know, some people don't, do they? It just doesn't interest them. So that's really good to hear that that's being talked
well,
about.
Well, not everyone who wants to buy one of these things wants anything other than what they had with paper Braille, and we're quite aware of that. They may just want the effectively exactly the same experience, and having to go and download something may not be that for them.
The
Knute is only a part of this puzzle, though. So there's a lot around how do you make Braille more accessible to people, and what we're doing is making the device that you can read it off. There's a lot of work that people need to do in order to make more Braille files available to people.
Definitely. So when are we looking at actually these being available for people to purchase?
Well, we are currently sending out 25 machines to various distributors, which is very exciting. We've had six in the air at the moment, and then various more going out very shortly. What every distributor needs to go through first is to try it on their various different customer groups and see how they're going to sell it, how they're going to support it. Mm-hmm. So it's starting. We can't preempt what everyone's going to want to do for when they open up sales. So I should say at this point, we won't be selling it directly to customers through Bristol Braille. We'll be using distribution. So in the UK, for example, we're working with George Bell from Technovision, and we'll be looking at with George how to run those trials over the next few weeks. So we also have a lot of trials starting at APH in America. For any American listeners to this, and obviously we're going further afield as well. So Braille, we'll be working with MV Access to try and bring a bit extra support to it. But there's no guarantee that it'll come with screen reader support right now, because that's a separate matter. But the trials are going to go quite wide.
Yeah, that's good to hear though, because that's more people having access to it, isn't it, and more people's opinions as well, really. You know, feedback is good, isn't it?
This is early days, so we expect to have a few people telling us what we should do differently.
But as always with Bristol Braille, that's what you've done, isn't it? Because all the way through, right from the beginning, you've involved Braille users, haven't you? Because you've had meetings in lots of different parts of the country, haven't you? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we actually helped set up the Braillists Foundation, who are often... take the stand next to us at site villages. Liam, do you want to
Yeah, absolutely. So we've worked with the Braillists, particularly in developing the user features, the things that you feel and you interact with. So the user interface and the layout of the buttons and all that sort of thing has been developed very much as a collaboration. The design work that went into that was done almost entirely by blind people. And the real advantage of that is, as a team largely of sighted engineers, there are things that you overlook, for want of a better term, you know, that you don't necessarily think about. So a good example of that would be Ed mentioned Sight Village. Now in our last prototype machines, we found when we visited events like Sight Village that some of the buttons weren't particularly well designed. So as a result of that user feedback, just from talking to people at events, we were able to change those buttons and actually make a better product. So I think for us, it really is key that we build something that's useful and easy to use. And the only way to do that is to involve the blind community at every step of the way.
And yeah, exactly. And it's every step is the important thing. You can't just consult some people and then go away and design it, because no one's had one of these machines before. So you can try something. They might suggest something to you, but no one really knows until you've tried it. So the button layout that Liam was talking about, which you had to change, was built. You know, we didn't just come out, pull it out of the air. We did a lot of consultation, come up with that button layout, but we hadn't, after building it, you know, you run out of time, and we just put it into production. And it turned out it wasn't right after all. It sounded like a good idea, but it hadn't been tried in the field. So we show all our failures. And anyone who's seen us since 2014, the first year we actually turned up with a cardboard box because the machine had broken. So we'll be able to, anyone who's been following us will be able to say that, yeah, I went to go and see Bristol Braille, and they're prepared to show me what was going wrong with this, what was going wrong with that, what they had to change. They'll tell us how the mechanism worked, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's a very honest product, isn't it? And a very honest company, really.
You have to be.
Yeah.
I don't think
we'd
succeed otherwise.
So is that still happening with the Braillists? Are you still having sort of meetings and things for people to still try it out? Or have you got past that stage yet, or are they still involved?
I think the last meeting was in London a few months ago. For Bristol, for the Canute angle on it, it has slowed down how many times we do this, because we've gone more into how do we get the production going rather than how do we change the design. But the Braillist itself is still very active, and Bristol Braille is still paying its part, and we're working with them to help them get registered. So it's quite exciting if you're interested in, because the Braillist is not just about Canute by a long shot. It's about promoting. Proactively promoting Braille projects, especially technological ones, but any sort of Braille project really, which can increase Braille use, and it's getting registered as a charity in the very near future, if the Charity Commission will allow us.
That's great news. That's really good. We'll watch with interest to see, if and when that happens. That's really good.
I think
news.
At the moment we have something just short of 500 members on the mailing list. So.
Yeah, I was going to add, actually, there's a forum and a mailing list online. So if you go to www.braillists.org, I believe it is, I'll just check. You can get involved in the discussion there. There's some really good discussions about not just Bristol Braille, but about other Braille technologies as well. It's a really fantastic resource for anyone who's looking to learn more.
And one of the things we wanted to do is mean that once this group have got together, who are so helpful for the Canute, is make sure that if other people come up with these dotty ideas for Braille machines, you know, there's a lot of students come up with ideas for Braille, and then they sort of release it into the void unless they're prepared to create all their own focus groups or something. There's no one to help them, and no one who reads Braille knows about them. So we wanted to create something where people can just come along to a meeting and say, I've made this ridiculous thing that might work in future. What do you think about it? And we can have a go and say that actually is quite a good idea or not. And that happens quite a lot, actually. Lots of student projects have gone through the Braillists.
That's really good, actually, isn't it? So you're kind of helping entrepreneurs and just, you know, like you say, helping Braille in lots of ways, because it's, you know, I think people have this misconception that Braille isn't widely used, and, you know, maybe it isn't quite as used as it once was, but children are still learning Braille in school, and rightly so, because they need to learn literacy skills just the same as their sighted counterparts. You know, and I mean, I'm a Braillist, as you know, but I've lots of friends who love Braille. You know, we have a Braille support group on Facebook, and I think it's got sort of in the region of 300 or 400 members on it. And all of those people, some people come and join it because they're just learning Braille now as adults. And so it is still very widely needed.
Well, there's a couple of ours who says, and I think he's quite right in saying this, that it would be completely possible now with the class of sighted children not to teach reading and writing. You know, you could use other technologies and audio the same, but to get an appreciation of spelling and grammar and sentence structure, and these really important things, there really is no substitute for the written words, whether that's accessed in print or through Braille or some other words. Particularly in education, it really is vital, particularly for employment prospects in the future and things like that.
Yeah,
and even less so for maths and music and tables, which is brings us back to the Canute, which is what we felt digital Braille was missing devices that would make those subjects like maths, music, and tabular data actually viable in the digital age, which is what Braille is most important for. You know, you can get by having an email read out to you. It may not be the best read when you're dictating it back. It may not be the best formatted email, but you try doing that with long equations or with musical notation.
But is there anything else that you would both like to mention before we wrap up? Is there anything that we've missed about the Canute?
Well, I think it's worth saying that we can't say for sure right now, but we will be going to market very soon. Once all our your ducks are in a line, we will be going to market very soon. And if you're interested in buying and perhaps even putting down a pre-order, you should get in contact with Bristol Braille, and we will let you know as soon as that is possible. I know we've been asking people for a long time to give us your email addresses, and we'll let you know when we have updates. Well, now we're saying, if you're interested in that, then definitely give us your email. Now is the time. So Liam will be at Site Village. That will be a great opportunity
to mention. Yeah, so I'm going to be at Site Village in Birmingham, which is at Cranmore Park Conference Event Centre in Solihull. And that will be on Tuesday the 9th and Wednesday the 10th of July. I'll be there both days. Come and say hello. I'll have a Canute with me. I'll also be selling some slate and stylus kits to support some of the work of the Braillists. Some McLindex card slate and styluses. So you can have a go with the Canute, and we can talk about taking email addresses and getting that process rolling.
Meanwhile, if you wanted to get in contact with Bristol Braille, the web address is bristolbraille.co.uk. The email address is enquiries with an E, so enquiries at bristolbraille.co.uk, and our phone number is 0117 325 3022.
Fabulous. Thank you both ever so much for joining us. Liam, it was good to have you for the first time, and Ed, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Welcome.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.